Welcome to the Keegan Smith Podcast. Choose what you give your life to or have it stolen from you. My mission is to rewire for power. We've all been gifted massive potential. This podcast is about unwrapping that gift. What if you could? Potentiating wellness, abundance, and movement. Today's podcast is proudly brought to you by Real Movement Level 1. Real Movement was started 2014 to help coaches get better. Since that time, it's helped over 70 of its members open new training facilities and dozens of its members get started working in professional teams. Some of those coaches are now running programs in professional teams around the world. The program is designed not just around increasing your knowledge. You can go and sit on YouTube all day and hear information about just about anything out there. What this program is about you experiencing and taking on your best self. Get 3 days face-to-face and 3 months of online development. Get into it. Here we go. Hit record. It is tough to get these things started. That's, I guess, the nature of our challenge of life. Better get somewhere near this microphone. It's tough to get started. Once you start, it's not so hard, but it's tough to get started. The podcast has started. I'm up to episode number 11. There's a commitment here. There's a rhythm, and I'm proud to be holding on to it. There's all sorts of other things that go on that challenge that rhythm, and it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, what's going on around and let that sway and push and pull at what you do in life. But ability to keep a few key things on track and do them regardless of how you feel, regardless of, you know, swings in the environment. You know, the planets are always going to be in different positions, the weather's going to change, and things are going to go up and down in life. It's easy to do things on the good times and the easy days. The challenge is to do them every day regardless, because it's really getting it done when you don't exactly feel like it 1,000%. That makes all the difference. At least that's my belief, and probably the belief of the majority of successful people throughout history, that persistence is one of the key characteristics and key factors in doing anything of any use and being successful, whatever that is defined by you. Love, abundance, progress towards something meaningful. That's probably my definition of success. So today we're going to talk about three steps for strength. Okay. Strength is something which has been lost across society. We don't really need to carry water, chop wood. We don't have manual labor. That's a requisite for living. We're not dragging carcasses. We're not hunting as we were. And these are generalizations, but for the majority of humanity and society, this is true. I lived in the mountains of Mexico for a period of time with the Tzotzil people, and I will tell you that the women who carried water up and down those hills, they were starting to overindulge in sugar, and they had a high carbohydrate diet, and most of them were heavily overweight. And at the same time, they're carrying water, sometimes carrying babies at the same time. They had the biggest freaking calves and thighs. You know, you don't really see their thighs. They're long dress wearing people, but you can tell there's a lot there under the big skirts. Massive calves, because they're carrying water, heavy load, up and down hills. The kids from an early age carry water up and down hills. The calf and thigh development that, you know, people have in that culture is extreme, and they have no concept of gyms and training. There's some military contact now. There's military bases all through that area in Chiapas, and you know, some people have done military service and such. So there's a some contact with chin ups and push ups and squats, but for the most part, they've got these very well developed legs, and it's simply a matter of, you know, simply a factor of their day to day, what it takes to exist. If you want to have a fire to cook your food and, you know, beans and tortillas and stuff, there's no raw food option there. Heat is the sanitizer, but it's also a thing that makes otherwise inedible foods closer to edible. For me, it was still very, very bad for my health, living on beans and tortillas and weak coffee with sugar and whatever else crap I bought when I was in town. But that was an interesting period in my life, and I got to experience what it was like to be vegetarian on a Mayan diet, and I got to experience what it's like to have really bad gut health and overall health in a way that I'd never experienced before. But though I had big legs, okay? So the principle here is strength. Three steps to strength, okay? So there's three things I want to talk about here. The first one is skill, strength as a skill. If we think of strength as a skill, then we know that it's going to be mostly about time invested, okay? Number of repetitions, focus within those repetitions is going to make a difference. And initially, it's not going to take that much. You know, when we're really bad at something, you know, think of, you know, juggling can be the example. To get someone to be able to throw the ball from left hand to right hand to left hand, just a single ball, it's not that hard. It doesn't take that much practice. And therefore, you know, that's kind of how it is when we get started with strength work. If it's not a very difficult task that we're trying to perform, then just a little bit of work will, you know, we'll get improvement. As the task that we're trying to accomplish becomes more difficult, whether that be load or skill, then we're going to have to invest more time, okay? So high skill movements that require strength, we're talking about weightlifting, okay? So the snatch and the clean and jerk, we're talking about gymnastics, we're talking about CrossFit, talking about circus, like hand balancing, tumbling, you know, acrobatics, that sort of stuff. All of those things, they have a big strength component, but they also have a huge skill component, which means that people who become elite in those things will go from training a few times a week to a couple of times a day most days. Okay, so it's normal for a weightlifter or a gymnast to train twice a day, at least 3 days a week. So you're looking at 10 to, you know, 12 sessions a week. Now, you might think, how am I, you know, this is irrelevant to me, strength as a skill. Yeah, sure, but I'm not going to be able to get 12 sessions a week. Well, what if we were talking about your goal to be able to do 20 chin-ups, 20 pull-ups? If that was your target and you can do 10 at the moment, then putting a chin-up bar in your house and committing to 10 to 12 sessions a week of one or two sets is a very, very likely way that you're going to get to that. You know, if you read Pavel Tsatsilin's work, Pavel is probably the guy who's really popularized this concept of strength as a skill. He kind of likes the idea of getting super strong without getting big. So he sort of stands apart from a lot of the strength community where, you know, people are happy to add size. They actually want to look good as well as be strong. Pavel kind of, you know, pushes back against looking good and doesn't really, you know, have an interest in that. His background is more from sort of tactical military point of view where you don't necessarily want to be bigger, or some people want to, you know, stay slim but be extremely strong. So frequency works very well for building that kind of strength, okay? My friend Aaron Tate is an author, multiple-time author, one of the most interesting, successful people I've met. He was a Navy diver. He's done all sorts of amazing things, studied at Cambridge and whatever. While he was doing that training, he spoke about they used to just have one set of pull-ups before every meal. Okay, so one set of pull-ups before every meal means that you get very, very good at pull-ups. You know, doing one set of push-ups every day and doing push-ups, you know, whenever something goes wrong, you get very, very good at doing push-ups. Okay, so frequency plays a huge role in getting good at anything. So more complex movements, it becomes a necessity. Okay, so for things like gymnastics, like on the rings and, you know, the pommel horse and those sorts of things, there's a large strength component, but a massive part of it is skill. Weightlifting is less skillful. Like there is a fairly large skill component to it, but it's not rocket science. It's throwing a heavy weight overhead, keep the bar very close. You know, you can always refine the movement. And I guess it is, you know, like golf, except very heavy, but yeah, maybe not quite as finer, not quite as a smaller margin for error as there is in golf. But what you'll see is that when strength is high, then it doesn't take too much to be decent at weightlifting. And if strength continues to improve, then you know there's going to be improvement in weightlifting numbers. So CrossFit's kind of shown that just by doing lots and lots of repetitions, anyhow, basically, like there's, you know, you can find all sorts of techniques out there, you know, with people doing ground to overhead or, you know, whatever they call it, you know, when they're doing snatches and they're just sort of, you know, throwing 30 kilos up and down. There's still some crossover between that and actually being able to snatch 100 kilos or 120 kilos. And so many people in the CrossFit community are able to perform those kind of feats now. And it's pretty clear that that accelerated learning in CrossFit in terms of weightlifting, part of it is because they squat pretty much every day. A lot of the times pretty low intensity, but sometimes high intensity. And you might think, no, they don't squat every day, but wall balls, you know, box jumps, all these things are squats. You know, walking lunges is a single leg squat. Like there's a squat element to pretty much every day. And that means that there's, you know, squat numbers are high. And when squat numbers are high and then you just keep, you know, doing something with the bar, things improve. Now, there are a lot of people who've been to CrossFit for lots of years and you know, can't snatch body weight. You know, there's something going wrong in those systems or those people aren't, you know, getting the same gains in strength and technique as the other ones. But that frequent exposure is the key, okay? So if we think about strength in that way, strength as a skill, and just get frequent exposure, then great things will happen. The limitation here, the only thing that really tells you if you're doing too much, if this is not working for you, is tendon soreness. Okay, so the idea with high frequency is that you keep fatigue low, you do a ridiculously low amount of total work each session, and if you're not, if you're avoiding tendon soreness, then you're winning. Okay, so there's a protocol here, Even Easier Strength, and we have an adapted version of that within Real You that a lot of you know, that has worked really well for myself and other guys. But Even Easier Strength from Dan John and Pavel Tsatsalin, built around like two sets of five repetitions at 40% is kind of the baseline. And then you do, you know, 2 or 3 days at slight, at higher intensity each week. But most of the time, you're just doing two sets of five at 40%. So you're just continually doing this low intensity work. And usually within 20 days, but almost definitely within 40 days, you will PB on the movements that you're doing. So you do five movements and you just keep practicing those movements. Yeah, I did it in 2014 and PB'd my standing press. I did 70 for 5 and 80 for 1, otherwise known as military press, strict press. Yeah, and all my other movements got back to, you know, very close to personal best when they, you know, they'd been far away from it. I think I PB'd my deadlift as well at 210. I've also used Juster Method, Steve Juster. Is yeah, a kind of crazy strength guy if you want to look him up, but yeah, he has a, there's a protocol there. Paul McElroy actually got it into the Even Easier Strength book. Paul McElroy is a super interesting guy. He's done one arm chin ups and, you know, really impressive powerlifting numbers and all kinds of different strength feats out of Ireland. Amazing 12, I think, is his program now. It sort of seems to come and go out of being in the public eye or, you know, doing things that you can see online. But yeah, hopefully I get to meet him one day. I really enjoy, you know, reading his stuff and seeing what he's done. He's done amazing things in strength, and he's not a massive dude, but he employs this frequency protocol, and he's had a lot of good results with that. So the deadlift protocol is basically like 3 reps at 70% on Monday, and then you just work your way up 2 extra reps each day, either through till Friday, or you can go all the way to Sunday. There's two sort of variations of it, but basically just adding 2 more reps each day, and they're just singles, right? So singles at 70%. So pretty comfortable, pretty, you know, it's pretty manageable load. And yeah, basically you follow that for, each week you add a little bit more weight to the bar, but you sort of get to a heavy weight without ever really feeling as though you've worked that hard, and yeah, you hit a new PB. So there's a bunch of protocols out there that work on this principle of high frequency. A squat holiday by Wolfgang Unsoldt is another kind of example. It's basically like piling it all in together, but you do six days of squatting three times a day. And it's crazy what your body does during that time. Really, really crazy. If you haven't been through that experience, build yourself up for it, practice for a fair while, and probably start with a moderate load. And he says, like, go balls to the wall every single session. But if it depends on what your tendency is. If your tendency is to be pretty soft on yourself, then take that advice. If your tendency is to, you really do know what your 3RM is and you really, you know, want to get that in your first session and build from there, then my experience is, and a bunch of guys, is if you go full on like that, then you're probably not going to get the results you want. You're probably going to break or you get sick on the other side of it. But yeah, getting through that in 6 days is just, it shows you what's possible in terms of human endurance, and you know you're probably capable of a lot more. But yeah, that strength as a skill concept, that's number one, right? So if we're practicing a lot, then things are going to get better. Okay, that's really at the foundation of it. When we think more about handstands and things like that, then it's even more clear that, you know, strength as a skill is super relevant. So you start to get decay in your skills even within 24 hours, like practicing juggling twice a day versus practicing once a day when you're going for your five ball, like that definitely makes a difference. So I'd like to do some more research. I'd like to speak to some more people who are in this field. If you've got some references around this, I'd love you to send me some thoughts. But it seems like there's actually skill decay within sort of 24 hours. So optimal frequency for skill development and diversity of approach. Okay, so within this skill thing is like the same but different concept. And the same but different concept is something that Pavel is a fan of. It's also like West Side Barbell is based around that. Like you always squat and deadlift and bench, but you always do it in a different way. So you're constantly getting, you know, some degree of learning. And if you just do exactly the same movement, exactly the same but not different, then you will get slower learning. So you will get slower strength development because you're not bringing in any variation. So this is sort of the law of accommodation. In the Poliquin system, it's like six times you can repeat the same session and then you have to change. But as you become more advanced, it could come down to even every, you know, one session that you adapt straight away. So you need to change the stimulus more often. Now, this is contradicted a little bit in bodybuilding, but not so much in strength. It is contradicted in strength as well. But even if you look at, like, say the Shaco programming, they're constantly varying the type of squat and bench and deadlift. So, you know, you're squatting, bench, and deadlifting every session, or, you know, two out of the three. But at the same time, there's still always a learning component to it because there's a small variation in what you're doing. Yeah, I think that's good mentally, but I think it's also good neurologically and learning-wise. Norwegian powerlifting project. Generally, most powerlifters will accept, you know, more variation further away from competition, but how much variation they keep in is probably the point of difference. Powerlifting sort of stands apart from a lot of this because you can be really good at powerlifting with training, you know, 2 to 4 times a week. So that shows that powerlifting has a low skill component because there's no other, you know, there's no high skill sport where that's okay. You know, for soccer, for basketball, for baseball, for any of those, you know, for gymnastics, weightlifting, none of those sports you can train 2 to 4 times a week and be anything close to world class. Okay, so that shows that powerlifting is a low skill sport in comparison to the other ones. Or it's just so highly demanding that you can't practice as often. But the West Side method is 4 sessions a week plus 4 to 8, 10, you know, supplementary sessions. So, you know, they do have a higher frequency approach and they probably have created the strongest humans in the world. I know that, you know, people get, no, there's a pushback and a lot of people don't like the gear and all that stuff now. You know, raw powerlifting has become much more common. But it does seem as though they are actually the strongest guys, even though the suits and all that kind of confuse things a bit. But yeah, I'm pretty sure if you actually go back to the numbers, they're still Still handling the heaviest, definitely handling the heaviest weights, but they probably are still the strongest people in the world as well. So, they do take a higher frequency approach than the majority of powerlifters. Shaco interestingly says that he'd be happy to program 7 days a week. He just doesn't think anyone would follow the programs. And Norwegian powerlifting, the Norwegian powerlifting project where they went to 6 days a week, like they saw big gains in quad size and gains in strength, and that was quite a varied program. They have quite a varied approach in their training, from everything that you can Dietmar Wolf, everything that you can track down online. They're pretty secretive about what they do, but it's pretty cool to be a sleuth and uncover a bit of that. But it seems like they have a more of a skilled approach. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Norwegian powerlifting over the last couple of years, but it was definitely the rage a few years ago, and that study is interesting, but still kind of hasn't come out fully. Two more things here, steps to strength. So if we're talking about considering it as a skill, involving that complexity within the movement, keeping some, same but different component. So the second concept here is frequency. Okay, so if we're thinking of a skill, then we need to have frequency. It's kind of overlaps heavily with what I've just been saying, obviously, but the more skill is involved in the movement, the more often you applying it will make a big difference. Okay, so dividing your work up over the course of the week rather than just getting it all done in 1 or 2 days is going to make all the difference. And that, I've kind of already covered that. So let's just go. Step three is total volume. Okay. So initially, if you're going to take this approach of training twice a day, every day, then they're going to need to be small sessions. And this is, something that is possible. Like, people say, I can't train every day, no way, like it'll kill me. I can't train twice a day, it'll destroy me. But if the session was 10 chin-ups, 10 push-ups, then you go, well, yeah, of course I could. That wouldn't even be enough training to maintain the strength that I have. Maybe it would, but, it depends on what you define as a training session. So there's two ways you can go at this. The traditional way is, start with 2 to 3 sessions a week and then gradually add sessions on as you become more elite. This is the way it goes for weightlifting and gymnastics and those sorts of things. The other approach, if you have access to it, is to just do smaller or less intense sessions with high frequency, but save yourself and never actually tire yourself out too much within any given session. And this is kind of the approach, I guess, that Ido Portal is going for. I've done some of his online programming and went interned with him in Thailand in 2013. And, the training that was very challenging for me, because I wasn't, hadn't been exposed to it too much, was pretty comfortable for him. So he was, and the guys who'd been working with him for a while, they were doing, they were doing their 2 sessions a day there. And that was, they were okay with that. That wasn't overly challenging, where when you're getting a lot of new stimulus and you're having to work at a higher percentage of maximum because, things are new, or you just, you're trying to keep up, then, you get a lot more fatigue. But the programming that I received from him and, what I know of, other mates and stuff that have done his programs, it basically starts with, 2 sessions a day, 6 days a week. And, it's pretty famous for sort of saying, well, sink or swim. And, I think most people who try and do his online programming sink, and there are a few that have swum, and, they're doing amazing things. They've, stuck with that plan, and, there's people doing really cool stuff. And, I don't know if you've checked out Roy Gold. If you haven't heard of Ido Portal, or, I'm sure you've heard of Ido. If you haven't checked out Roy Gold's stuff, it's he did 6 clicks of this Captain of Crush #2 while in a one-arm handstand. Now, that's ridiculous. I haven't seen anyone close a Captain of Crush for 6. Like, no one I've met personally. Guys have been able to do 1. I'm pretty sure Mitch Pike would, get to the point of being able to do 6 or more in the, without too much practice. But doing it in a one-arm handstand like that is just That's a feat that is unlikely to be repeated anytime soon, because you kind of need to be, I don't think there's going to be many people under, you know, 90, 95 kilos that are going to close the Captains of Crush six, you know, number two for reps. So, you know, that they definitely have that concept of volume, of frequency, of exposure, persistence. You know, that's a consistent message that comes out in their work. And, you know, Ito will, you know, say it's not talent, and you know, he can consider himself to be a bit of a slow learner. It's as far as movement and picking up skills goes. Like he wasn't the most natural is sort of the story that he tells. And yeah, you know, I would definitely feel the same way about myself. I haven't gone to the heights, to the same levels of movement quality and achievement that he has, but I would say that what I have achieved has come through these methods, through thinking about really consistency of exposure and just building tolerance to volume. And so if you look at Menno Henselmans is another guy who I like to check out. I went and saw him in Austria at what's it called? Das Gym, Intelligent Strength. One of the coolest gyms. I posted on Facebook asking, like, where's the coolest place in the world to train? And one, yeah, Nathan Gould, who's been through our program, you know, he went and trained there. And some of the guys have been over there to train there with me. Dust Gym is a special place, Intelligent Strength in Austria. I went and saw him speak together with Mike Teixeira, who's one of the kind of founders of, or fathers of powerlifting. He's a big believer in polarized training, so some real heavy stuff and some fairly light stuff. I don't think he took it as far as he should, but that's probably a conversation for another time. Polarized training in strength. It's been popular in endurance, but it's, I think, also got a really, there's a lot we can learn there in strength. But back to Menno Henselmans, right? He's quite controversial in that he recommends building towards training every day. As you become more advanced, as a natural lifter, a natural bodybuilder, you'll have to expose yourself to training more frequently, because you're anabolic for a smaller amount of time after a session. So when you're a beginner, you'll be adding muscle mass, you know, storing protein for 24 hours, or maybe in 48 hours after a training session. But for as you become more advanced in bodybuilding, it's probably going to be shorter that time. So it's, you know, not long after your training session, you're actually adding new muscle mass. So his approach is very, very consistent. It's built around consistency in the same way that bodybuilders diet. His approach to training is really along those lines, where you're just incrementally increasing volume and you're making sure you're getting stronger, and you just continually expose yourself to more volume. Okay. So that's sort of the things that need to happen are improve your strength for reps. So improve strength, but, you know, something like your 3 RMs or your 5 RMs, 6 RMs, doesn't really matter what it is. But if you're improving your 5 RMs and you're improving your tolerance to volume, then you're going to be seeing an improvement in your physique. And that's what, you know, the programs that I write and follow are built around frequency of exposure, increasing 5 RMs and increasing tolerance to volume. Now, there are other principles and other things that you can look at around rate of force development and partial lifts and, more complex concepts. But fundamentally, if we're doing these three things, then, you know, life is going to get better. We're going to get stronger. We're going to get closer to the body that we want. Okay. So, this is the way to look at it, okay? So many people are wasting time in the gym, not getting results that they want. These are the principles to come back to. So it is good if you can set yourself up with a place to train at home. I highly recommend that. Like, yeah, furniture isn't that valuable. Like, what if you just take some stuff out of your house and, you know, get a place where you can train in there. Put a chin-up bar in a doorway or modify your house in some way, hang some rings from the roof. You know, build some a possibility to train into your home environment so you can get some more frequency, have a space where you can do, you know, handstands and skill work, you know, swing a barbell, etc. Just have a bar at home and just expose yourself a little bit more. You know, light training still makes a difference. Definitely a big believer in 40% or lower intensity strength work playing a role in overall strength development. Then you want to keep increasing your strength for reps. If that keeps going up, you're in a good place, and increasing your total training volume. Okay, so that's how much weight you lift for how many reps. That's what gives you the volume. Okay, so Bob Takano's book is a pretty cool one if you want to get into that concept. Russian weightlifting, it kind of breaks down exactly how many reps they do week to week, how much volume. It's in a, you know, the complex setting of Russian weightlifting, but it kind of introduces that concept of gradually increasing load and increasing intensity. And they have quite complex systems of waving that up and down to be able to optimize the development of the nervous system and minimize fatigue. That's a conversation for another time. But basic principles here: frequency of exposure, increase strength for reps, increase tolerance to total volume, and that's the way to get stronger. Three steps to strength. Thanks for jumping on. Talk to you soon. Keegan Smith, the Keegan Smith Experience. Man, that guy can talk. But he does it because he loves it. If you loved it, share it. Give us some feedback. What was great? What didn't you like? What was your biggest take-home message? Make sure you stay in touch with us on Instagram and share your wins, people. This win is only going to come if we do it together. We have to take ourselves further. By taking ourselves further, we give permission for everybody around us to make positive changes in their lives and to become the people who they want to become. Everybody's changing the world. You are changing the world. Let's do this together. Let's see how far we can take it. Imagine if we all put our full heart into becoming the best versions of ourselves every single day.